Halifax Hooligans, Jamie Clare here, and Darren D from the Edmonton Lynx.
Oh, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, so we're just doing this thing. It's kind of like an opposites thing. It's the first time even talking to each other. It's TJHL rivals for many years.
You know, we're just not in the same conference, so it's like not the same. It's good actually, because you know, when you get to talk to somebody from another conference, you don't really need to worry about like giving away on your secrets or anything like that. You're just like, hey man, I don't need to worry about you until like the very last game of the season.
And odds are neither of us. Well, you might make the finals, but you know, I got quite the up curve to really make it this season. So all my secrets are out in the open right now. I got a team full of golden oldies right now, and just that's eventually getting better progressively.
Well, I mean, like, my team this year, I find it's been very kind of, like, I've tried a few different line combinations the last few games.
Yeah.
But there just seems to be something where I don't feel as powerful. I mean, it's like not even really letting a secret out or like whatever.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know, some guys are starting
season,
to get. Some people are getting older. Some of the younger guys though are getting better, but it's in that weird sphere of like, the chemistry's improving, mm-hmm. but because of the age and skill differential, there's just something that has like something's a little different.
A lot of variables. Kind of, yeah, I do know what you mean. I'm kind of following you, anyways. Because there's decreases. There's, you know, could be a new addition or two. I know you have Chipchura on your team now. That's one of from our trade.
He has been an absolute stud.
I'm glad FYI. He's working out for you, because that's one thing I can say too is if you were in my conference, I would not be glad that he's working out for you.
But, that's very fair. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's always like the worst. Well, it's always the worst thing, right? When you're trading, not only just within your own conference, but necessarily like within your own division, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yep.
And giving really powerful players to teams that may or may not have a chance of knocking you out of.
Yeah, it's like me trying to make Dougie better from the Calgary Polar Bears. It's the last thing I'd want to do, you know, that bugger.
Well, for me, it's always like it's right now. It's Kamloops. I'm keeping my eye on Johnny there.
Yep.
You know, because he's got a lot of skill, man.
It's dangerous, man.
The Terramina situation is super unfortunate.
That's controversial, I find.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that,
oh,
Mr.
That's,
man? Just he wanted a lot of fucking money. That's what I think he wanted, and I don't think John wanted to give him all that money.
You see, John's got his secrets, too. You know, him and I have been best friends since we're 7 years old, right, in real life. But in TJHL, we're barely, you know, copacetic. We make a trade with each other, but we kind of want to win. You hide things. You do hide things. I don't want to show him my auto lines, because that might give him an advantage, right?
Right.
The gloves are off. It's not like real life. It's more serious.
So how do you approach a trade then with the Knights?
Well, I will get to that too. One thing I'll even tie it in with the McCarthy and Terramina trade. Holy cow, that was a blockbuster. There's so much that Johnny wouldn't even tell me about that. I was asking. I was like, why?
I mean,
and he's like, nope, because I wanted to trade Terramina to McCarthy. I'm like, no. Nah. It's BS, Johnny.
Well, you know? I mean, he was in a tough situation because, I mean, like, let's face it, right? It's like your goaltender doesn't want to be here anymore. He wants out.
Yeah.
He's got to get out. You have to move him. And how do you not take steps backwards that put your team in a situation where you have, like, a superstar, borderline superstar goaltender and you lose him for nothing? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's how do you recover from that situation? And like I was talking to John as well about that, and just mm-hmm. you know saying, you know, hey, what's up? Like, what do you want to do? Like, what's your situation? Would you be interested?
Yeah, I wouldn't believe a word he says. Yeah, actually, more insight will be in his article. So if anything, so that's pretty much where you got to get the real scoop. That's probably where you got to go.
But
I read his articles. He said something about his young guy. Terramina was jealous of all the attention that young Chris Campo was getting.
Oh, well,
you know,
I mean,
young stud.
Yeah, no, it's true. He's an up-and-comer, but, you know, here's the thing, though, is
mm-hmm.
when you're one of the best goaltenders in the league, you know, based on skill, right, And you're going to want a lot of money. You know, market is a thing. And I honestly think that that guy wanted a lot of money. And when I was looking, because I look around the league every once in a while and I see where people are at financially.
I think that
John didn't have as much cap space as he could weaponize in that situation.
He was in a bad situation with cap.
Yeah.
At the time. He's in a better spot now.
I agree.
But the pressure was on. The pressure was on that very day. Taramina could have had something bad for lunch or something. The agent could have been in a bad mood and things just didn't work out. But he refused his deal.
He did. But yeah, you know what?
Was offered.
The Knights recovered really well with, I think, adding McCarthy. At least they got the skill off, back.
I've always liked McCarthy better. But go on. Yeah.
I see. Here's my problem though: is I'm not so sold on that. I'm not so sold on McCarthy actually as a goaltender, to be quite honest.
Interesting.
I think that he has a tremendous amount of skill, but I also believe that he needs to show up in the stat sheet. You need to see wins. Wins, man. Nothing shows me that you are a goaltender and an elite goaltender like you are winning. But unfortunately, he has a lot of years on Kelowna. And God bless, you know, those guys in general.
The hockey gods did not favor Kelowna for so many years.
They do not. You know, they've had a lot of pieces that they moved over the course of time, right? You have a lot of pieces like both draft picks and high-profile players that have been moved for other pieces. But here's the thing is that for some reason, those guys just do not work together. You know, there's whether it's a chemistry problem, whether it's just an issue of having the right combination of players.
Yeah, no matter how good one player is, you have to have a combination like a whole team.
You got to be able to work together, right? Like, you have to be able to, the chemistry's got to be good to win. You know, you cannot just win based off of skill in this league.
Absolutely not. Many have tried.
Many have tried, and you cannot BS your way into that. You have to have chemistry, and I would almost argue that it is more valuable than skill.
No, absolutely. I'm with you on that. I can definitely echo those sentiments. One thing, though, that I consider myself a student of the game here. I'm a little bit late to the game compared to a lot of the regulars. Kind of still the new guy, but that's with time. That's kind of trying to prove myself season by season. But I try to just be up on the stats and research that player's entire background, even to juniors. You know what I mean? Back in junior, McCarthy, you know, for instance, if you take hypothetically McCarthy's history back at junior with no coach bonus, that's one reason why I like to do, scouting from juniors.
That's fair.
All the way back to 100%. It kind of gives you more of a raw idea of, and not only just the numbers, but one thing is I go a little bit more intricate with it and compared to the goalies on his team. So goalies, his counterparts or, you know, his cohorts, who's getting as much ice time, how much skill they had on that season, how much older, you know, or younger. And there could be some discrepancies, like one good draft pick that you made was for a guy that was overlooked for a couple of seasons. I think he took him in the third round recently.
Hilliard Greenlay.
That's correct. Yeah, you bet. I'm going to have to try to make a pitch to you eventually to get him on in my prospect pool, right?
Well, hey, man, if you got a young goaltender that is, not going to retire anytime soon and looks halfway decent, I'm going to probably be in the market for one of those guys very shortly because both of my guys, you know, they're 30 years old. And age doesn't this league doesn't reflect kindly on those who age after 30, if you know what I'm saying. So time is ticking for both those guys. And it's just going to be a matter of time before I need to re-up that. So, I mean, the Edmonton Lynx, to all of you folks out there that are looking to sell your goaltenders, you know, you might have a buyer. Just saying. you know, send me an offer.
Mention the podcast and you will get a discount. You will get more favorable. You know, I'm guessing.
I'll give you a discount. I'll give you 5% on.
Halifax will give you
10%. John will give you some draft pick ballots. How about that? Come on, John. I know you're listening.
We can set it up. John will have to hit a home run with it, and then it's official.
Here's what I will say about McCarthy, because I am looking at him right now in terms of his stats. I'm very impressed. Very impressed with his current season with the Knights. Still stand by what I said before him, because still his THL total was 68 wins and 226. I mean, I know it's with the Juicers, but 88.9, 3.81 goals against average. If you're near 4 goals against average, that scares me. That scares me if you're in junior, and you're like that. Fortunately, like you said, and I do agree, his Barry Colt season is very nice.
His
first season with the Juicers wasn't half bad.
Compared to Toronto,
a 909 save percentage.
38-39 All Star team.
Yeah, but you know, you got to select somebody.
You know what? I do. You get a pass there with sometimes with Kelowna.
Here's the thing. I love JC. I know he's trying to build his team up and all that kind of stuff. I think he just needs some guys to fill in the gaps, and he is getting there. To be quite honest, I think this year hasn't his team done a little bit better.
He's done actually a lot better. I'm gonna go. You can stay on McCarthy here. I'm gonna go.
He's 2-10-1.
Hop over to JC.
2-10-1.
He's been 100%.
I actually looked at his team not too long ago because I'm always looking around for guys that I'm checking everybody out. And there's no one on his team that can really help me in my mind, but his team has done a lot. He has improved a lot. Mia Zaitsev, Sharif Bazanov, Morley Goodrow down the middle with Tuvo Moe, Marku Hall, Alan Bednarski. Nothing really there that astounds me, but I know his defense has gotten better. Tuukka Pickett has been playing better, and Toski's in there.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good player. Now, you know what? We can't overlook JC. One thing is that'd be a grave mistake. He's more focused than ever. He's having a better season than many years. And then he had a little kick in the ass there last season when Moose Jaw, bowed out in TJHL. That we're guaranteed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean.
JC, I think he took that to heart, and I think he's made a concentrated effort. By that point, the McCarthy trade had already been made, but he's kind of picking up the pieces. He's making some good deals and making sure. I feel he's making more of an effort for his lineup and really being
involved. I agree. I 100%. I think so. I think the team is better. They just need a couple. You know what they need is just a couple of second line guys that can fill out that roster. You don't necessarily need big boys yet. You know, you can get to that trade to fill out the roster. Or honestly, you trade for some big pieces to build around. Because if you're building a roster, you got to have some cornerstones. You know, a foundation isn't built on nothing.
Exactly. And keep those guys. That's one thing that, I've been bad for that, too, with trading away
the
guys.
Yeah, you got to keep them. You got
to win now.
That's
one thing that patience can't.
And honestly, in my own situation, with Edmonton, I've tried to do that, but there's also times where I've held on to pieces too long. So I used to be like this when I was a kid, right? It's like you get a video game and you don't want to trade it in. You just want to hold on to that video game because it's got sentimental value. I feel like that with some of my players, because the kids, they go out there and they play hard.
They play hard for the Edmonton
organization.
I haven't even played some of my video games. They're still on the wall. I use them as art. How much I like them.
Maybe that's what I should do. Mine just sitting in a box somewhere.
Appreciating the value.
But that happens. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's you have to know when to move. You have to know when to move pieces. And there's one person that I got to shout out for when he knows how to move pieces is Mr. David Longhurst from Calgary.
Holy cow. He's the trademaster.
He is a businessman.
Absolutely. Use that kind of salesman.
You know, I give him a hard time now.
If you people would be crazy not to buy his tonic in the day. If you were to sell whatever he sells, you could sell.
I'll tell you that.
If I had a business, man, if I had a business of selling something, I would hire him.
No, but here's the thing, though, is like with David's trades, whenever he's trading a big piece, it's always a legit piece that is being traded. That is the one thing that you got to give Dave credit.
And he's given me some good deals. He's given me some good deals, and I've also given him some in the past as well. I think it's evened out overall, but not everybody could say that. And I hate to really give him too much because he's in my conference.
Right.
He's in the toonie. Face him all the time. So these days, if we're going to make a deal, it's going to be a win-win, you know.
Hey, man, I think that is, it's funny you bring that up, because that's where I feel that the trade market is right now in the TJHL. I feel that there's a lot of deals that you have to, there's not a lot of overpayments anymore because people want a fair deal. You know what I mean? I've gotten a few trades this year where I thought it was very underwhelming, honestly. I won't name those people. But I thought that the trades were very underwhelming and not, I won't say insulting, but it's just more so like, guys, like, come on, you know, like look at who you're asking for and the pedigree. And I don't care if they're old, you know, or older. And I'm like 30, 31, they can play well. And if you got a plus two to veterans, you got a boss ass player on your hands.
Yep. And it's almost to be expected that those offers are going to happen. But, one thing that I would ask on top of that, though, is when you communicate that to them, do they come back with an offer, a better offer?
No, I'm usually pretty important. Straight to the point, and I don't mean to be like a dick about it or anything like that, but no, it's just like, you know what, if this doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense, you know, and you know that it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So let's...
No, I take your, your the way you are the right way, I feel like sometimes it's like... It's almost as if you just want the person to know, so it might.
No, I mean, like I usually send a message back, and I'll be like, "Man, listen, this is a player that is like really good. I need something more than this to justify it."
Yeah.
Especially when pieces are being moved for like first round draft picks. That honestly, and this comes back to like talking about top 50 lists and players with skill and chemistry, right? It's like, if you have a player that has done something in their career and has produced, and they may be a little bit older, and then there's this young guy that may have a little bit of skill, but he hasn't done absolutely anything in his career, and you have no idea where he sits.
You got to tell.
And that same young player is being tossed around for first-round draft picks, plus, and then this other player's...
If he's gone through
waivers. Yeah, and then there's this other player over here that's just an older guy, but he's... possibly trade, but it doesn't mean that he's not worth that, you know.
Yeah, no, I think we all have to be open to the reasons why, even being open to seeing something, some kind of value in this player because of what their perceived value from that current GM is telling you, and just taking that into consideration. Because sometimes we miss, maybe this guy's right. This I do see. Back in, say, junior in season 36, he had 82 points with, he's kind of thing, been overlooked all his career or something like that, right? Might add.
There's a lot of
him.
Diamonds in the rough out there, man. The only problem, though, is that get, like, where I feel like my team is kind of in that weird stage where you have all the veterans that are in place who have been playing together for years. Some of them are getting older, but they can still play. But... Yep. You might have to introduce some like young bloods in there, to really like to find some diamonds in the rough that are really good. But you don't necessarily want to play them because their skill isn't as high, and you get trapped in that vortex of like skill.
And
you just get stuck there.
Yes, season to season. And it's almost like you got to think about. Placeholders and then replacements for the older guy, even to have similar chem to that older guy. Ideally, if you're gonna say on D, you're gonna replace, say, a guy just turns 26 because your coach bonus is +2 and you're waiting for that to happen. But you got three candidates, and then Curtis Bolton, for instance, for us, I'm trying to get him to stop playing. I'm treating him basically as a chem guy, but he's only got 3 attributes left, right? So I mean, that can only go so far for the playoffs. Ideally, I'd like to have a guy like Jack-Off Grossman, or, you know, however
Jack-Off.
One would like to pronounce his name.
Jack-Off Grossman.
That's how I drafted him, because of his name. Because he had my favorite name I've ever seen in a pick, right, in a prospect. And
it's
he's
almost
just,
like Bojack Horseman.
Jack-Off
Horseman.
It's kind of like the gross name. And he's lived up to it
name.
Since day one. He's playing pretty good so far. I kind of want to have... He's in my top 4 right now. So far, with Mikael Hampson. They're both 26 years old. I had to get rid of Berglof because of a trade. I'd actually like to still have him, but, I mean, David's got him now. It's not doing a great deal there.
I was... last year, I was thinking about coming after you for Berglof and or...
okay. Yep. Bolton is on the block.
Into the...
If...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't need him now, but, like, last year is, like,
absolutely.
A rental going into the playoffs. I seriously thought about, you know, reaching out and saying,
yeah.
you know, what can I do here? But I traded for Jared Duke, and it was
yeah,
a very
how's that
weird
turned out?
Situation. I kind of made a
mm-hmm.
It's very weird.
I was iffy on him, but, yeah.
I'll tell you this, right? Well, he's got a lot.
Yes.
He's an 11-stat player. He is a beast mode,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Jared Duke. My only thing with him is that I would really like him to get more points. I think that he
mm-hmm.
plays D very well. His preseason was very nice. But that first line has struggled as of late. In my preseason, it was much better, but you mean you only face 4 teams.
True. That's right.
In your preseason.
You can't.
You know what I mean? So the gene pool is very
really
small.
Not be it, make any hasty decisions, right? Based on yeah,
100%.
Keep going about Duke though.
But
yeah.
It is nice to see, like, I kind of look at it as more of like a chem thing,
yeah,
right?
Some...
So, I've still liked Duke during like the season. He's doing much better than he was
mm-hmm.
last year, and so maybe I'll talk to that. Is that I swapped Aoki,
yep.
Radoslav Aoki for Jarrett Duke. And I remember talking to David afterwards, and I had felt like I had made kind of the wrong decision.
Were they very heated discussions
and the reason,
with this?
No,
or
no, it wasn't that, actually. It was, I think David thought that he was going to be better than he was, and I think I thought that he was going to be better than he was. He had a really good season on David's team, and that's what he sold him as, and which is 100% true. Because I looked at him at the same way. You know, like, this could possibly be better than Aoki.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But afterwards, it was just his performance that kind of, like, irked me. It had nothing to do with David. It was just more so the fact that it was... I mean, it's rough, right? When you make a big trade, skill for skill, and you want to increase, and
yep.
you don't want to take steps back. That being said, though, this year he's much better.
Now, this is more of like a newbie question too, but for any kind of experience, because some people, no matter their first season in TJHL or possibly even their 15th season, they might not know all these, some of the gray areas, so to speak, with chem and how that works. Do you find that one player, say, with that is so far away from the chem, will actually hurt the line, even though they are, say, a superstar?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I feel too.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Because I actually had to.
It's a loaded
I was thinking
one.
About it
yeah.
while you were explaining it.
Yep. Yep.
And it's. I think. I say this with a caveat, of like, or should I say, it's like with an asterisk.
Good word. Good word. I like caveat though. Yeah, but go on.
It can hurt your line. But if the player is skilled enough, and for whatever reason they've got the numbers on their side,
yeah, yeah,
I think that you can break even.
Okay, so
I don't think
that
it helps.
You have to almost showcase them. But yeah, go ahead.
I think that if you're explaining it like, you know, like kind of like you were talking about where his you know the chem is bad. Let's just pretend like the chem is like, you know, it's an F,
yes.
right?
Yeah, you
bad.
Bet.
It's not going to help your line. Like, it just can't. You know what I mean? It's negative to start off the bat. And then you're playing from behind to start with. So you're hoping that the skill level will trump the chemistry. But if you're at like a -2 to your stats, you got to make up 20 stats.
Oh, man. Then you're
22 stats. Sorry, they're not even 20 stats. 22
they're basically a pro ready then. And plus,
so he plus better be a 90 because then he's a 75.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
yeah, that's like, not that the player that you signed up for. Yeah, exactly.
That being said, though, that player that has that bad chem on your team could be a golden egg for another team that, let's say, like, you know, like Kelowna or Moose Jaw or one of these teams that are up and coming, you know, that are trying to build something. You already have a lot of pieces that are kind of there that are decent, but they don't work together. It's time to start investing into some other pieces and finding out which one of those guys work well together and then build around those pieces.
Exactly, you know? Yeah. Actually, but, that's kind of like what I was thinking as well. Yeah, so if I'll let you finish there, though. I don't want
to
interrupt you.
But yeah, no, I think, but to answer your question, I think that it's a problem. Because it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, because...
And you know it's a problem, which makes it even worse.
Yeah, and with what you said with Kelowna, say, like, or even a team, I still feel, though, that there's no... It's very low likelihood that it's going to be up to chance. A person would still have to almost build around that player for a line, ideally. So try different, you can't just kind of insert a guy like that into a line and magically he will,
No, but that's perfect. I mean, like those teams already have, like those teams already have,
they'll have some breathing room.
They have players on there.
They'll have a lot of breathing room and different types of, I guess you could say, space that they could try new things, you know, for this player.
Listen, there's nowhere to go but up. You know what I mean? There's nowhere to go but up for like those teams.
They don't have established lines, most likely, for season after season. They're still trying, you know.
Hey, you make the playoffs, that is a win, son.
Oh,
that
huge.
That is a win, you know. And that's like, it's like baby steps.
Agreed.
You got a new GM in Chris, who's taking over Moose Jaw.
Yeah. That's an interesting one.
I think he's got a really good head on his shoulders. I was talking to him very beginning, looking for some pieces because he's got a lot of interesting first rounders and second rounders that don't really seem to play nice. That's just my assessment. I don't think they all play nice with each other, and maybe he'd like to.
I was surprised actually that how humble he's been since the startup because Dougie was one guy, and I know Dougie. I used to play hockey with him. He's a cocky little bugger, eh? You know, he's very smart and very, you know.
His team's doing well this season.
Yeah, like, he's the complete opposite of Chris. Chris is just a good attitude and just, you know, humble. And then knowing Dougie, though, like, I don't know how the two could get along because Dougie's just the opposite. He's just like, you know, the first chance he gets, he'll step on you. You know, he'd be like, hey, you know, your team's old, Halifax. You guys suck. You know, now that I'm, you know, not doing as good as he is, but the first chance, like immediately, that's why he's basically going to be the champion. You know, when he does become a champion, we're not going to hear the end of it. It'll just be nonstop smack talk to us.
Well, you know, man, you are in his conference, so you got to do everything humanly possible.
We are rivals, him and I.
To keep him out of the top spot.
I'm trying to keep him down. I'm trying my best to keep him down.
It's not working right
now. Yeah, I've up until now, it's worked. Somehow it's clicking for him now. He's starting to learn.
He beat me a couple games ago, and now I'm on a losing streak. So I was very sad, and I was like, "Wow,
I hate seeing him do so good." Yeah, yeah. It's
like I said, you know, at least he's not in my conference. That's the way I get around. I'm like, okay, listen, I don't need to deal with any of these guys until the playoffs.
Yeah,
actually, the last game. then I'll worry about these guys. You know,
there's
foresight
there that has to be had. Yeah,
your conference though, I'll tell you, man, you got like Saskatoon, you got Calgary gunning for it now, you got Calgary that's like just always, you know, punching dudes. You got yourself in there, who's always battling for like that top spot.
And I'll tell you, and I'll add in a secret of mine. Not a secret, but it's more of a trend that you could probably notice over season to season. I'm always a slow starter. So, I mean, if this happens again, usually I kind of pick things up towards playoff time. I get more serious with it, but, I could be playing possum. I could be playing possum right now. Just let the league know, not to fall for my tricks. Hey, I try to be clever and almost too clever for my own good. So like telling you guys this right now, this is probably not going to help me at all with my plan, but,
Well, let me tell you, son, if you want to, I might need some veterans.
Okay.
Towards the end of the season, especially like defensive ones.
Well, they're good. I do have some good high chem guys that basically I'm trying to phase out. Like I said, if I find a potential fit right now, I'm in trade talks with a few select GMs. You know, I try to go for ones, you know. Like, Thack is a good trade partner of mine. We kind of did the goalie swap recently.
Yeah.
Logically, some players that are better with Pichette chem, you know, towards Trbenchkem. You know, we can kind of swap a couple players here and there.
That was a pretty big trade, man. Like, how do you feel about that with Pichette kind of catching fire there?
Well, I'm still in shock that I've got Archie Pichette on my team.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm trying to feed him guys like Garth Lahash and guys with like one or two attributes, just on a whim, kind of like trying to Hail Mary things just to see if there are any kind of like diamonds in the rough on my team. Using my farm as a feeder system, I know I'm basically giving away all my locked secrets, you know. So if you don't listen to this podcast, I hope GMs don't listen to it. So, but yeah, I'm just going to go right out and tell you. Yeah.
You know what I'm going to say, though?
That's good. Goes on the pro and gets a tryout. But go on there.
Pichette, despite the fact that Pichette is, 3-8 on your team, I think actually the one good bright spot there is that he's got an 89 save percentage.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Because those numbers are switched and he's 8-3.
Check out the three stars. He's league leader. Somehow he's in the top five. He's for the three stars award, even though he's 3-8. Isn't that weird, eh? But he's single handedly keeping us in games, despite I'm trying to be as rough as I can on the fella starting out, so that he'll kind of see where's. Test him a bit, and then go easy on him later on. Just kind of make him feel like he's got a home here and treat him real good. And then go back on it and treat him like crap again. Just to keep him on his toes, right? Yeah.
It's like, hey, man, I could trade.
Psychology is huge in hockey, right? So, yeah, it's exactly. You make sure that you know who's boss, that he knows who's boss, even though.
There's some of these players out here that they are so hungry, they're so needy, and they're so entitled because they're like, look at me, I'm 20.
Oh, they're divas. They don't.
And I want $7 million. Get out of here, man. What do you want? Like, your $7 million. You haven't done anything. You played in the minors garbage, yo. Get
you
out
know what?
Of here.
That's why I don't like drafting high. I don't like drafting, in the top 10, because you just run into nothing but divas.
I thought you were going to say that you don't like drafting high, like you don't like smoking the dope while
I made that mistake of getting drunk on trying to sign free agents. Eh, that's one of my favorite pastimes.
Oh yeah. What, you go like you spend too much money at the casino and you're just hoping you're gonna get one?
And you know what, I used to be big in the casinos, kind of like the Evander Kane-esque. Maybe not that.
Who are you betting on?
I like betting on the
Saskatoon, because he like wins all his games.
Yeah, actually, we should get something like that going, kind of like an underground bookies.
I wonder what the odds are for him to like win the cup.
I'm telling you,
he won like when like
if
three
you
in
look
a row.
At our conference and how many teams have beat him in the past 10 seasons, you'll see one name. That's Halifax Hooligans. There's on your conference, though, there have been a few that have, you know, somehow overtaken the Spectres. That's
yeah, that list does not include the Edmonton Lynx, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, that's right. You are a contender this year, as you were last year. That was a tough. I thought you were going to win that one.
His goaltender, man, is just such
Where does he find these guys? Sarnik? Sar.
Fourth round pick. You tell me that. John, if you're listening to this, what are you feeding him? We've got to have him
on the podcast.
Do you like cram fertilizer in this man's breakfast cereal and then tell him to go like run lap or skate laps and then take pucks to the face? And then when he comes to like the playoffs, he's ready to just Superman the whole thing.
He's a mastermind of that. I'm sure he does. Basically, he knows how to get the most out of his players, whatever means necessary. I'm sure. A master manipulator.
He's doing that Illuminati inner circle magic dance or something like that. And
could be some voodoo at play too. There are the Spectres, Saskatoon Spectres.
Go juice.
It could be something like that. Is there drug testing? That's another thing that.
He is the commissioner.
Tell any tales out of school here, but there's some possibilities that are, a guy is a fourth rounder and all of a sudden a superstar. Hey, people are gonna ask.
He's like the mafia boss that you just don't want to mess with because you know that like he's gonna come back and take everything from you. So you just like let him win. You know, you got to put up a fight.
I can't say anything myself because of the history of the Halifax Hooligans GMs. I try to stop that kind of, questioning on Twitter. And I just I don't get drunk on Twitter. That's one thing that.
Oh, man, I wasn't around for it. I'll tell you, I've never seen John so mad. He's a very nice guy. He's probably like. He's probably one of the most cool, calm, collect dudes that I've ever seen when he's talking about
stuff. He's got his emotions in check. That's one thing it's good for a man to have. That's we all have to be that way, I think.
Well, your predecessor was the exact opposite.
And you know what? I will say on record, Pombert, Ryan Pombert, he is a friend of mine in real life. I didn't grow up with him, but I've had him over at my house a couple times. He's actually a very good. He's a gentleman. He's got the utmost respect, but he has no control over sometimes his reaction. Not a character flaw.
Right.
It's a behavior. It's a tough thing that him and I actually had some, I guess you could say, awkwardness over it. Me taking over kind of thing, and when alcohol is involved. Yeah, there's a lot of sometimes you take things too seriously or say the wrong thing and. Then next thing you know, you're getting fired. Yeah, and we'll call that the podcast. Suggestions or things you want us to talk about? Let's hear it. Let's get this interactive. Let's get Richie on here. Let's get JC on here. Yeah, let's have some fun. To everybody, peace.